today on Real Radio.
The more knowledge you have, the closer you come to God. The more you have to wrestle with the Lord. If you're not going to accept the revelation of God and His creation, you're fighting against Him. So that when Carl Sagan looks at his telescope and he sees the heavens that declare the glory of God, day unto day they utter their speech, night unto night there is no place where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Where's God When You Need Him?, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. A lot of years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys. Now, Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Having a Good Argument from Acts chapter 23, Paul finds himself once again in front of the Jewish council. This time, however, he's giving a defense for the gospel, but his testimony of all he experienced of forgiveness and freedom was viewed as arrogance and pride. Still, Paul's conscience was clear that he was doing the Lord's will, and that was all in spite of the religious leaders' anger towards him. Now, in verses 12 through 35 of chapter 23, we'll see that when God is at work, we are often aware of His presence the least. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that there was a conspiracy going on to ambush Paul. But you know, God is working behind the scenes in total control, despite our turmoil. Sometimes we feel that God is nowhere, but the truth is, He's right here, closer than ever. And now, continuing his lesson called Where's God When You Need Him?, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
These guys are radical fanatical. We will not eat until Paul's dead, and we've made an oath before God, and we're holding God to it, that He'll slay us if we don't kill Paul. Isn't that something? That's radical. The world will always be like that. It's interesting to me that the world is blind today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians verse or chapter 4, verse 4, it says that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of those who are in the world so that they cannot believe the glorious gospel. They can't understand it. They can't see it. These guys can't see the truth of what's happening here. And the world will come against you. They think you're a wacko because you have hope and peace in your life. You're trusting in the Lord. You want to get somebody upset, though? The guys at work, the neighbors next door, they're going bonkers because something's happening. Just say, well, the Lord's going to take care of it. It drives them crazy. What do you mean? God's in control. How can you say that? He is. Well, what about the wars that are going on? What about Bosnia? God's in control. That's what happens, by the way. Bosnia, Vietnam, South Africa, Central America, what is it? Statistics tell us there's 136 wars going on daily somewhere in the world, every day. War and division and hatred and strife comes from man being in control, moving God out of the way. God is still in control. And there's a control that God exercises when He lets man be in control. You want to be in control? He says, I'll let you be in control. And your life begins to get ruined. Because your life was made to be under God's control. He's exercising His providential care, and the world will attack you. The world will come against you. In Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, or excuse me, 18 and 19, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The word in the Greek is the wrath of God is being now revealed at this moment from heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, that is, hold down, the truth with unrighteousness. Since what may be known of God is clear to them and plain to them, because God has made it clear to the world. You know, the world out there knows enough about God to pursue Him, but they choose not to. I was supposed to be at JPL last Thursday night. I was unable to make it, and Carl Sagan had spoken. And a couple of brothers from the body went, and at a question and answer time, somebody asked Carl Sagan, because he's been listening, you know. He's got these radio telescopes. He's listening for extraterrestrial comments to come through space. And he's listening. And he made a comment a while back that he had heard something. So somebody asked him, "What'd you hear? Can you tell us? What was said from the heavens, from the sky?" And he goes, "Well, no, it's not really nothing." That's all he wound up saying. Well, listen, people who are in the know and have knowledge, the more you acquire knowledge, and the world is saying how technologically advanced it's becoming, the more knowledge you have, the closer you come to God. The more you have to wrestle with the Lord. If you're not going to accept the revelation of God and His creation, you're fighting against Him. So that when Carl Sagan looks at his telescope and he sees the heavens that declare the glory of God, day unto day they utter their speech, night unto night there is no place, Psalm 19 says, where their voice is not heard. Carl Sagan looks into that telescope and he looks out into the heavens and he goes, "Wow, I wonder if anything's out there. I wonder if anything's going to say anything." And God says, "Hello? Hey, dummy, it's me. The heavens declare the glory of God." But the world will take that input and suppress it. And there's so much knowledge being acquired scientifically now. Evolution's falling apart at the seams. It's a joke. I just read, I can't quote it to you. I just recently read a quote from Albert Einstein, and I'm going to bring it to you and read it to you. It is so fantastic. It goes like this. Einstein says that science without God in the middle of it is foolishness. But religion, the belief of God without science, is blind. And I think that's a fantastic thing to say. Albert Einstein said that. Brilliant man. Brilliant statement. His knowledge was bringing him closer to God. The world, when they reject God, will reject you because you're a representative of God. We are not going to eat or drink until Paul's dead. Listen, the world's not going to rest until the Christians are either dead or raptured. I'll opt for the latter. The second thing I want you to see is in verses 16 to 22. In verses 16 to 22, and that is the Lord will always be behind the scenes. Listen to this. I love this. Verse 16. "And when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul." You know what? We don't know anything about this verse, you guys. We didn't even know that Paul had a sister until now. We didn't even know that Paul had a nephew until now. This is the only record of it in the Bible. There's hints that in Philippians 3:8, where Paul says, "I've suffered the loss of all things." A lot of scholars believe, and church history tells us, not that it's true, it just says that Paul lost his wife. Paul had to be married, you know. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Had to have a wife. But the belief is that Paul lost his family because he became a Christian. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus and came to Christ, he not only lost his influential power in the Sanhedrin, a lot of scholars believe he lost his family. Well, here we know for a fact that he's got a nephew and he's got a sister. Listen, what a coincidence, isn't it? It says that Paul's nephew was in earshot of this comment. He learned about the ambush. I like what the Jews say. The Jews say coincidence is not a kosher word. They don't even acknowledge it. They won't even use it in their vocabulary. Because if God is in control in His great providential care, you don't have a coincidence going on in your life. Christian, can I tell you this morning, I was thinking about putting my Bible down on the ground and standing on it when I tell you this, but that would probably be close to taking an oath. There is nothing going on in your life that God has not ordained. Oh, that's a coincidence. No, it's not. God has ordained what's happening in your life right now. But Jack, what if I've been a real big bad sinner and I'm reaping now things that I've sown in the past? That's true. That happens. We're all doing it. But He also says, "Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more." Does He not say that? Your sins are not remembered before God. Jack, I was a prostitute last week until I got saved. Don't tell God that. He doesn't remember that. Well, I was living for myself and totally absorbed in self until I received the Lord 6 months ago. Don't remind God of that. He has forgotten about your sin. You're in Christ now. Isn't that radical thing? And all along in your life, there's nothing that's happened in your life that's a coincidence. God has been in control the whole time. Listen, this point in verses 16 to 22 is that God is always behind the scenes. Let me put it to you this way. He's not behind the scenes as in hiding or hidden, but he's behind the scenes as in orchestrating or arranging or conducting. I like this quote that I stole from some old book. It says, God may be behind the scenes, but he's moving all the scenes that he's behind. Don't you love that? You go to a play and you see how the lights go down in the audience and then they come back up and the whole stage is changed. Well, listen, that didn't happen by evolution. There's people behind there. There's little feet to those props. God is behind all of the scenes. Not that he's hiding behind them. He's behind what's happening in your life because he's orchestrating. Now, don't go rent this film because I'm ready to rent it again and I want to make sure it's there. But you can go to Blockbuster or any of these places around town, and you can, and I highly recommend you do this, you can rent three tenors in Athens. And the conductor is Zubin Mehta, a Jew. They're in Athens, Greece. And my favorite guy, no, it's not Michael Jackson, it's Pavarotti. I love that guy. Have you ever heard him sing? You know, he's an opera dude. And you go, Jack, that's sick. Look, listen, check out Pavarotti. The guy will blow your mind. And he's singing and he's having a ball. He's looking at the audience and doing all the stuff that you don't do. You know, everybody's bow-tied and he's just having a great time. And he's singing and stuff. I just pray that the guy gets converted. Because God made those pipes to his glory. And why did I bring this up? Oh, the Zubin Mehta. Here are the three tenors, the greatest tenors in the world. And they're there singing. And Zubin Mehta, that guy moves his little wand. And like, I mean, the whole world seems to move. He goes over here to the left and he just moves his little plexiglass wand. And the violin's going. And then he goes over here and he points to that dude over there and the guy goes, kaboom, with the cymbals. I mean, talk about authority. He's in total control. Not like the Wizard of Oz where they peek behind the curtain and there's that little guy spinning the wheels and pulling the chains. And it's not like that. God is in absolute control. Well, then why'd I get a flat tire? Because he's in control. Did it upset you when you got that flat tire? Yeah, that was from God. He wanted to show you that a little flat tire can ruin your whole life. And he wants you to know, let's get over the flat tires deal. But my car just sucked the valve. What am I going to do now? Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jack, my doctor just said, I got to go in some testing. My white cell count is real high. Doesn't look good. He's in control. Now look, I can handle the valve deal and I can handle the flat tire deal. But now we're talking about my body. Yeah, I know. Jesus is in more control than anything, than ever. You feel like he's not near you? Let me tell you something theologically accurate. When you do not sense God's presence in your life, that is proof positive. You're going to have to take this by faith and by experience. It is proof positive that he's the nearest. It's a strange way, the way that he works. He will allow you to feel forsaken so that the verses in Scripture and truth that's in your mind, he will see to it. It gets down 18 inches into your heart so that you are truly, truly a disciple. We don't like it. We don't like it when God says to us, now you sit down, you're grounded, and you're going to learn something because there's a trial coming down in the future in your life, and I want you to be ready. And we fight and we kick, we scream. Kim, this morning, I met her just coming into the door. She just dropped off her precious little blonde baby in the nursery, and the baby was freaking out. And I was trying to read her a story, Mickey Mouse, and she took a swing at me, and I don't think she wanted to read that book. She wanted mommy. She wants some knucklehead pastor. She wanted mommy. And Winnie was holding her and got her calmed down and everything's fine. But when you're in a turmoil, you want God. You want bells and whistles, don't you? God, show me a vision. Show me that you're here. I'm going through something right now where I'm asking God, if you're waiting for me to crumble because I don't feel you near, I'm not going to crumble, God. I know you're real. I'm going to be here. I'm going to hang in on this. I'm asking you to respond in some sort of way so I might know your will, your direction. I don't care if it's up or down. Just let me know. I don't feel your presence. I know that you're here. I know you're in my heart. For he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. God, I believe that. Listen, you guys, do I feel it? I don't feel it. I don't feel it. And you may have come to church today and you're saying, well, you know, I'm really not getting out of this church what I came to church for. I want to feel God. Well, how does God feel? Goosebumps? I can run a feather down your back and give you goosebumps. I'm not disparaging feelings. God has given them to us. But don't trust in your feelings. When you marry somebody, if you've been married longer than 6 months, you know that thoughts have crossed your mind, did I make a mistake? Well, you don't go by feelings. Love has nothing to do with feelings. Love is a commitment, feeling or no feeling. You've committed yourself to a fact, to a truth. God has committed himself to you in providential care. I don't feel him. I don't lovingly care. He loves you. He's with you. Paul could have freaked out and said, oh God, where are you? You ever been to the Grand Canyon? I'll never forget. My brother took me up to the Grand Canyon. You know, I'm thinking you're going to drive and see the Grand Canyon for like a couple of moments before you pull into the place. It's pretty bizarre. If you've ever been there, at least from the south side, you're driving up there and it's forest. And you're going by. And we got there and my brother ran over to the driver's side of the car. He was in his other vehicle. He came over and he put his hands over my eyes. He goes, come here, come here, come here. And he walked me to the edge of the Grand Canyon. Now, you can't see anything but forest. And then you get right to the edge and he took his hands off my eyes and there's this big hole. And it was like fake. It looked fake. It's so big. It just looks fake. And I can whistle really loud and I won't do that right now, but I whistled really loud. Do you know what I heard after I whistled? Absolutely nothing. I was expecting, hello, 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 right? Nothing. Hey! It just, the vastness of it all sucks it up. Paul, in all of this stuff, with finding out now that there's a plan, a scheme against his life, Paul could have said, God, where are you? Where's God when you need him? The answer is not nowhere. He's nowhere. No. Nowhere. We got a letter in the wrong spot. Move the nowhere, move the W over, and it's God. He's now here. Whenever we feel like he's not here, he's nowhere. No, the truth is he's now here. When you feel him the least is when God is working the most in your life. How do you know? He says that he's that way, providential care. I don't feel him. Just keep doing what God's called you to do. He's present. Jesus said, indeed, the hour is coming, and yes, and now is, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, Jesus said. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. Peace. Wait, you're going to leave. We're going to leave you alone, Jesus. And you're prophesying that you're going to feel alone, but you're not really going to be alone because the Father is with him. You guys, have you ever felt alone? Jesus was left alone, but he never felt alone. He never felt lonely because he had trust and faith in the Lord, his Father. He says, my peace, I'm going to leave with you. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The word peace here is a quiet rest. Don't you need that? Who does not need that today? Hey, it's next week's Christmas. Who does not need a quiet rest? I spoke Friday night at a Christmas banquet thing for a Calvary Chapel, and you can almost feel the people come in and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the brother got up to lead us in worship, and I was watching him beforehand, and he's tuning his guitar and he's yawning. He's yawning. So I'm watching him and I'm starting to yawn now. And he's worshiping and he gets done. And then I go up and he's sitting there and he's yawning. And now I want to yawn. And afterwards we started talking. He says, man, I'm just so tired. I'm so sorry. I was like dying. And everybody in there was like dying. What? Jesus says, I've come to give you a peace, a quiet rest. It's in your soul. It's in your heart. The more Jesus Christ, listen, is present in your heart and in your life, the world can go nuts out there. And it is. Have you read your paper? The world has gone nuts. It is officially insane. The world is nuts. You can have peace. This is not some pie in the sky dream. It's true.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Where's God When You Need Him? Thanks for listening. And always remember that God is never more near than when we don't feel his presence. He's never more close than when we feel so far away. And he's never more at work in our lives than when it seems like he's nowhere to be found. Where's God When You Need Him? It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we can see, even in Paul's time, believers need to spend a good deal of time being taught by the apostles, especially when others around you opposed to the gospel try to sway you from your faith. That's why daily time with the Lord and his word is so important. Back in the time of the first church, Christians didn't have the New Testament to go to when they wanted a deeper understanding of having a relationship with Christ. That's why it's such a bonus that Pastor Jack has set up a devotions tab that you can go to whenever, wherever you need personal time with the Lord. There's a new devotion every week along with access to previous devotions. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or you can download the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet for instant access to whatever Pastor Jack wants to share with us. That's the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.